Welcome from the deep. I am Mike the Finder.
And I am Book of Brett.
And today we're talking about the 1999 film Stigmata.
Stigmata.
This is a movie.
What's the motto with you?
That I've wanted to kill Brett ever since I met him, and especially more now than ever. No, this is a movie that I've had, on my watch list, quote unquote, not my physical watch list on Letterboxd, but like something I've been to watch for a very long time. I'd never seen it before this.
Why this one though?
I don't know.
This is not like a hugely, like when it came out, it was popular.
Yeah.
It did well at the box office despite reviews. But I'm surprised that this has been on your watch list. I don't hear a lot of people talk about this movie anymore.
Well, yeah. I think it's because it's one of those movies that it was like right in that era where I became really aware of horror movies and stuff. And so I just remember it being kind of a big deal when we were kids.
So this came out around the time that you started like becoming like aware of horror as a thing.
I was like, I was like 12.
It's interesting because this was the first, this might've been the first like supernatural horror movie I ever saw. If not that, it was the one, I know for a fact that it was the one that like got me into like supernatural horror, like from a religious aspect.
Yeah, because that's like your favorite horror genre, isn't it?
It is. It is. Despite being a bleeding heart atheist, for some reason, there's just something, I don't know, there's something fun about religious horror. Like, I don't know if it's the Dungeons and Dragons aspect to the story that is the context of all of it or what, but it's, I've always really liked spiritual horror.
Yeah, I've just never really been able to get into it for some reason. It's not that I don't like it. It's just one of those things that I don't actively seek out, I don't think.
Well, it's weird because you like fantasy so much. So it surprises me that you wouldn't be on board with something like this.
I like
this.
Dog but that's mode. The Does thing. That count?
That's no, not even a little. I think the thing about religious horror to me is I'm all about suspending disbelief when we're watching movies anyway. It's why I can get on board with the movies that I can get on board with that maybe you don't. Like action movies, for example. Like action movies, you have to suspend a lot of disbelief for a lot of it. And once you take out the people actually believe in this shit aspect of it. It's actually like the idea of like heaven and hell, God, Satan, angels, demons, and people trying to exist while those things are affecting them. Like that is a very appealing concept in of itself, especially when you've got so much lore to pull from.
Yeah, I mean, I like Diablo, and that deals with all that stuff.
Yeah.
The story of Diablo is something I've always kind of been into, but that's more of a war between the two type thing. And I don't really...
Well, that's what's apparently going to happen.
Well, and I don't really get... I don't know. There's something about religious horror that has never been my favorite. And it's, again, it's not that I dislike it. It's just not...
I know what it is.
What?
I didn't go to Catholic school.
That's definitely part of it, for sure. I went to Catholic school for way too long. And so watching this stuff does take me back to that kind of thing. So yeah, you're probably onto something there.
But what we're going to discuss today is the fact that I have not seen it in 20 years or 15 years.
Yeah, so that's the thing is like, this movie is like very 1999, early 2000s.
So 90s. It's like, it's like if God were a hacker.
Yeah, it's got a really weird vibe to it. Well, all right. Do you want to give us a synopsis? Then we'll jump over to the podcast drive-in, see what they're saying about it.
Yes. Stigmata is a documentary of all of my past relationships.
I've noticed that we've moved on from like synopsis to just straight. Not even about the movie anymore.
No, Stigmata is about starring Patricia Arquette. It's about a girl living in what I'm going to assume is New York. No, Pennsylvania.
It's they Pittsburgh.
It's Pittsburgh. Living in Pittsburgh, she's an atheist. She acquires a rosary that belonged to a dead priest that her mother bought off some thieving little shit in Mexico. And now she, too, is experiencing the stigmata, even though she's sitting there going, mm-mm, Jesus.
Wasn't it Brazil?
What did I say?
Mexico.
Oh.
Brazilian it was Brazil, thief. Right?
It was Brazil. You're okay. Right. It was Brazil. It's just, it's got that same filter over it that we put over every scene in Mexico. For some reason, if you watch a movie, it could be modern day in both places. LA will have this vibrant landscape, and then we cut to Mexico, and it's this like piss yellow high contrast. It's like,
the whole movie kind of looks like that. All right.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the podcast drive-in here. Stigmata from 1999 is directed by Rupert Wainwright. It was written by Tom Lazarus and Rick Ramage. It stars Patricia Arquette.
Ramrod.
Gabriel Brump. So stupid. Gabriel Byrne and Jonathan Pryce. And the one sentence synopsis from IMDb says, when a young woman becomes afflicted by stigmata, a priest is sent to investigate her case, which may have severe ramifications for his faith and for the Catholic Church itself.
Oh, who cares?
Well, I would imagine the Catholic, you know, the priest cares enough to try to murder people. I think that this is actually kind of a cool idea because... Yeah. Yes, you don't often see in religious horror, it's mostly just somebody getting possessed and then them dealing with the possession, right? But in this, I love the idea that the person that has become possessed is actually giving out the lost chapters of the Bible, which is the big hook for me, because I gotta be honest, I was bored as fuck until that came into play almost an hour into this movie. Because it's so cheesy and like wannabe.
Oh, it's very cheesy.
Like it looks like an orgy music video. And like, I don't know if you noticed this, but I wrote this
who
down.
Who did the music?
The music is by Billy Corgan.
Sure is. It sure is. At his smashiest of the pumpkins.
Yeah. And so it's just got this real like late 90s, early 2000s techno, like gothic techno vibe. And I
was waiting
it.
For a Nine Inch Nails song.
Yes, it's so fucking cheesy.
Yeah, it's pretty cheesy. But if you look at a lot of the popular movies of the 90s that have like a gothic vibe to them, and this does have a gothic vibe to it. If goths liked inflatable furniture, that's what we have here as far as like the overall vibe of here. And there is inflatable furniture in here. I have a note in my notes that says, remember inflatable furniture. Do you not remember inflatable?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have an inflatable chair?
I did, but it got popped because I had a cat.
Ah, see, this is why dogs are better. Oh, God, I got so caught up in being mean to you that I forgot what I was saying.
That happens a lot.
Shut up. If you look at like a lot of the gothic movies of like the 90s, they all have that industrial soundtrack.
Yeah, and that goes into what we were talking about earlier, what I mentioned earlier with the color grade. The color grade has this really green and gray tint to it that's trying to make it look like techno-y and gothic-y, but it just makes it look like a bad episode of CSI or something. Like,
it's like, dude, just let that Panavision camera do its magenta thing.
The whole thing is shot like... A fucking, like, I wrote this down somewhere.
Mike scribbles notes like the Memento guy.
I do, yeah. The whole thing is shot like a bad, like I said, like a bad, like, detective drama on TV or something. And when we look at the fucking director, Rupert Wainwright, this is really funny. He's the same guy that did The Fog remake from 2005. So...
Oh, no.
It really explains a lot. He is also the same guy that did Blank Check, by the way.
I'm glad I didn't know either of those things when going into this.
So it actually does make a little bit of sense, like why it looks the way it does. If you've seen the Fog remake, which we did do a review on, I believe, I will link that down below and up top right here right now. But it's got that same shitty gray color grade to it, right? Yeah. And it's got all of those same weird, shitty directorial choices that are in the Fog.
Well, this is the start of that. This is the start of that, like that whole aesthetic where, you know, we, like you were talking about, as far as like it being green and it being like hyper contrasty and cheesy. Like this is 1999. So this is like right before we start getting into that. This just takes it to an extreme where you got a lot of like blown out highlights, but it was done on purpose.
Yeah, it looks like a bad Instagram filter on it at sometimes.
It looks really
blown out and shitty.
It really does. And the only part that like I found hyper cheesy are the stigmata cuts, because I feel like they didn't know how to like show what she was going through, even though like I feel like the whipping scene is probably the best part where we don't need to cut to quote unquote Jesus getting whipped. Like we can get it by her shirt opening the way that it does. But
that's the whole thing. I did this. And I have this written down. It's the last thing that I wrote. The entire movie kind of lacks subtlety in that way, where it almost feels like the director 100%. Thought that the audience was too stupid to get what he's trying to do. And so he literally,
do you get it?
He literally puts flashbacks in front of your face. Like, get it?
Right.
This is what's happening. And the whole movie's like that, where it just lacks this subtlety and is just really in your face about what it's trying to do. And it just makes it come off dumb.
Do you think he thought it would only be shown to nursing homes? Do you think maybe that's why he's just like, okay, they're going to have taken their pills. They will definitely have given them Jell-O by the time that they show them this movie. I should probably over-explain.
Well, I mean, like you said, this is the beginning of all that look.
Yeah.
And The Matrix comes out in 1999 as well. And, you know, the whole techno goth thing, like orgy and this is a reference no one else will get, Dead Sea and a whole bunch of stuff like that, you know.
Power Man 5000.
Yes. That weirdo techno goth thing that was popular for 5 minutes. This is kind of the beginning of that. And
Rob Zombie on Red Bull instead of heroin.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the director was really trying to go for that whole crowd. But looking back on it, that's kind of the thing that almost ruins this movie is the style and that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just so fucking dated. And when you go back 20 plus some years later, it just feels, the whole thing just feels kind of dorky and just kind of dumb.
It does, but I will say this. I noticed a contrast, no pun intended, genuinely no pun intended. I noticed a contrast between how Frankie's side of the story is filmed, or the US is filmed, compared to all the scenes in Italy. There is a difference between the way they did those.
That's true.
So I will say this, they did it on purpose, which I feel does redeem it, because it's like, okay, yeah, you did it. Now it's not merely my cup of tea, but it was noticeable and it was used for a purpose. It wasn't just done because it was popular. They were clearly using it for a purpose. So I do have to at least give them some points for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
When I say stuff like that, by the way, I imagine the director like hearing me say, I have to give them points for that, and him just sitting there going like, who the fuck are you?
Well, all right. Why don't you give me your overall thoughts on it? I'll give you yours. Or I'll give you mine.
I'll tell you how you feel, asshole.
I'll give you mine, and then we'll get into some ratings.
Okay. So I again, like I said, I had very fond memories of this. I have seen it multiple times. So I was actually pretty stoked when you said you wanted to watch this. And I remember my first thoughts while they're in Brazil being, this is pretty cool. I like this. This is very Exorcist. The beginning of it does have that kind of like Exorcist vibe of going somewhere else, dealing with an evil force of some kind, finding a relic that, you know, brings the evil back with it. There's a lot of the Exorcist in the beginning here. And then once we get to the opening credits, I went, oh, shit. But again, I was going through it because it is contrasting. Even in the opening credits, we are getting yet again more exposition. It's visual exposition, which I can deal with a little bit better than somebody just going, this is why that is. And so I did kind of get what they were saying with the taking the religious imagery with Frankie, the religious imagery, obviously having a different aesthetic to it than the stuff with Frankie. And I could tell right off the bat they were really trying to make that, I don't know, the distance between the two apparent. And so I still, though, when we get to Frankie overall, that was when I started going, I don't remember this. I remember this, but I don't remember this. It's like taking a lot of acid in your home. You know you're in your home, but none of it looks familiar. And that's kind of how I felt watching Stigmata. Once it got going, I liked it. I'm a big Gabriel Byrne fan. I really like Gabriel Byrne. And so overall, my initial impression of it was a lot of fun. I still enjoyed it. I didn't like it as much as I did when I was younger, but that's because I have a bit more of a discerning taste at this point.
Well, I mean, that's fair. I think that once you get a little bit older and you can sort of appreciate the religious side of this more than you can as a kid, it probably makes a lot more sense. Watching this for the first time, in my case, as an adult, I think that this holds up pretty well. But I will also say that intro really almost killed it for me, because it like made me roll my eyes like hardcore. Like,
it's not good.
It's not. And again, it just lends itself to, again, this comes off like a bad episode of CSI. Not to mention a lot of it is filmed like a sitcom. Like, all you'd have to do is put that like sitcom intro from a break, like do 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 do, to a lot of the shots where they then cut into the building. Yeah. And it would fit right along with the vibe of the entire movie. So that's a little off-putting. Right. The first hour for me, I think, is very long and drawn out and frankly pretty boring. I don't like Patricia Arquette all that much. I think she's a really bad actress, especially in this. Her acting is not good. It's the weakest part of this movie, which is really too bad, because that character is so fucking important to the plot. She's the fucking star of the movie, and her acting is the weakest part of this movie. Gabriel Byrne is great in this. I think that everyone else around her is pretty fucking good, and then it just shines this light on how bad her acting actually is. So
I don't know, man. She's been in some stuff that I enjoyed her in. I think she was miscast. I think that's what it was.
She was probably just like the hot it girl at the time.
Jennifer Aniston was around. Courtney Cox was around.
Yeah, but they were in Friends.
Exactly. At this point. Exactly. My point is, I feel like, because I've seen Patricia Arquette in other stuff. She's actually pretty good in Little Nicky. She's really good at playing like the mousy kind of girl.
She's in a lot of stuff. I forgot she's in Nightmare 3.
Yep. She's, it's not that, I mean, she's not like some A-list actor, but I really think she was just overly miscast in this role.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. She just doesn't, I don't think she has the depth for what they need her to do in this, because she goes from this, like, you know, kind of mousy, naive hairdresser to somebody who is literally possessed, and she just doesn't have that range, I don't think.
I'll string you up and gut you. I do hair.
And the thing is with this movie is she really has to bounce back and forth like quite a bit, especially in the middle. And it just, I don't know, it just doesn't, she didn't sell it for me in that way, but that's just a personal thing with me. The script's pretty good, but I didn't personally get interested in this until they start talking about the missing pages. That's the part that I thought was a really good hook, but it doesn't come for, I think it's like an hour and 10 minutes into the movie.
It's a while. Yeah.
Where they actually start playing with that idea. And then they only have like half an hour left after that to play with that idea. And it's just not enough for me. So the first half of this is really weak, in my opinion. It's too stylized. And then we move into the second half. And it actually, I think when this film works the best, it's actually kind of going for that more like classic Exorcist type vibe where they stop shooting everything all super quick and stop doing all the dumb, you know, the music stings and all that shit. And they just go for a more classic Exorcist religious horror movie. That's when this movie is the strongest, but there's so little of it in here and it's weighed down by its own style that it really got in the way for me. I don't know.
Mike just really couldn't wait to get to the part where we see Patricia Arquette die.
Well, that too.
I think
it almost happens multiple times. I'm like,
I really like act two where we think we might not see her anymore.
Yeah. But that didn't happen to you. The style of this didn't get in the way so much that like it brought the whole thing down for you. Color grade, the camera work, all of it is just so hyper stylized in a way that I just don't like.
Yeah, but that was just a thing then.
But I like it in The Matrix.
It's like Bush and Playboy. It's just a thing then.
Well, that's something I can get behind.
And like Bush in Playboy, I'm glad we don't do this anymore.
I mean, I actually think that if you went for this style now, you could do it in a much cooler way than they were doing back then. But you'd have to do it in like a hackery sort of a way, I think, to make it work. It just doesn't, that vibe does not fit well with religious horror for me.
The vibe of Evil Dead Rise with this, all of this.
That would have made it watchable.
would have made both movies better.
Yeah. Wow. We just solved Evil Dead Rise.
Good I think we us. Just solved a lot of problems. Brittany, pat me on the back. Nothing. This movie has a lot to say that I think got lost in translation with a lot of people. It has a lot to say about the Catholic Church in a day and age when the Catholic Church was very popular. It is talking about something that does exist. I went and looked up the Gospel of St. Thomas.
Yep.
It does exist. Yep. It is considered heretical by the Catholic Church because God forbid we include anything that motherfucker might have actually said. And so it does say a lot about the Catholic Church. But I really think Gabriel Byrne's character is hyper interesting. I think his character is really, really interesting because it does show the juxtaposition of science and religion in one character. And I think his character actually symbolized something that I think a lot of people deal with, which is having their faith, but having doubt in their faith. And how they kind of battle with that. And that's why, like, I really think this movie, said a lot. I think it got lost in translation. And a lot of it is to deal with the corruption of the Catholic Church. But there's also this whole thing of it does such a good job of towing the line between pro-religion and anti-religion.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Well, it's because they have that character line. That is walking the line itself or himself. Right. And he doesn't know either. He's a scientist. He's a priest. But he doesn't pray. And, you know, you can tell that he is grappling with his faith, but he also has such a strong belief in science that it really is interesting. My problem with all of that and maybe an issue with this analysis in general is that I think it's kind of like duh, and like criticizing the Catholic Church is just kind of like duh to me, and that it just feels so. And again, this is from 99, so I should be looking at it through that lens. But as I'm seeing it for the first time today, this just feels very paint by numbers. Isn't the church awful type shit? And it just doesn't feel significant or new or any of that to me. So maybe if I had seen it when I was a kid, it would feel that way a little bit more. But because I haven't, I've seen so many movies deal with literally this exact same subject that it just doesn't feel interesting to me anymore. And that's part of why I don't like religious horror as much as you do.
My argument to that would be if there were ever an organization that were deserving of being bashed as often as humanly possible.
I don't disagree with that.
I think maybe the Catholic Church is the right one to go with.
I mean, I don't disagree with that, but my point is that it's just so overdone that it just doesn't feel, I don't know.
I will agree with you. It is overdone. My argument is that so often people do it in a way that isn't interesting at all. And this is at least interesting to some degree. For me, it's very interesting. It's very entertaining. For you, it's sort of interesting. It's sort of entertaining. But either way, so many people jump on the fuck the Catholic Church bandwagon that I think there are a lot of examples of it being done poorly. And I don't think they do it poorly here because we don't have a lot of times when you get religious horror movies that are like anti-Catholicism or anti-religion in general, you will get them making like a straight up villain out of a member of the Catholic Church. You won't get a member of the Catholic Church that is kind of like clearly like a good guy and clearly has like a good heart. We do have our villain in the Catholic Church here, but he's not fucking little kids and he's right. Not like he's not doing something hyper villainous. He's doing what to him is right for the church. And that's why I think it's a little bit more interesting. No, it's not new. No, it's not a new concept. Even in 1999, it wasn't a new concept, right. But I think the way they did it was well-crafted.
Like I said, I really just wanted them to go more in depth on this other side of the second half of the movie that they bring up. And it's just, it's just barely touched on. And I wanted to hear more, even if, you know, because this thing is real, they could have very easily brought more of those into the movie and made it a little more interesting and a little bit bigger part of the plot, because that's the thing that was really interesting to me. The paint-by-numbers exorcist shit was just so paint-by-numbers that it didn't feel... And that's why I was so disinterested for the first hour, because it just felt like this, you know, kind of standard... religious horror movie until we get to that part. And then it's just, they don't dive deep enough into the part that I'm actually interested in. So the whole thing just ended up feeling kind of lopsided and meh for me.
Well, the thing that interested you the most is the reason why I like religious horror so much. The lore. You got really, really interested in it when the lore started coming up. Yep. And that's why the Ninth Gate was so awesome.
I love the Ninth
Gate.
It's
why Red Dragon, even though it's not a religious horror, it's based around the lore of some kind of mysticism. The lore of mysticism is the interesting thing. It's not the characters in a situation that's interesting. Right. It's what makes up the situation that these characters exist in. That's what makes religious horror so exciting to me.
Well, and you know it's done correctly, like The Exorcist, when you can weave both in and make the characters dealing with the lore interesting for an entire movie. And when you have this that focuses so much on the characters on the front half of it, and they really, really try really hard to make us like Patricia. What's her name in this movie?
Frankie.
They really Frankie try hard Page. To make us like Frankie a lot. And, you know, despite how I feel about Patricia Arquette, I do like Frankie as a character. I just don't think that she's got enough going on for me to really connect with her character, because the other side of it is, and I know that it's because she gets possessed, but she just doesn't have any character development in this movie. She doesn't grow to learn more about her religious side. It's all implied. None of it is deep enough for her to, she went through this entire thing and we don't even get at the end, this thing of her like accepting all of this or anything.
No,
it's just sort of this abstract ending.
That's a really good point, because I see it a lot in these types of movies where like you have these characters where something blatantly religious or spiritual is happening to them. I tell this to Brittany all the time when we're watching these types of movies. I look at Brittany and I go, if that ever happens to me, we're going straight to a fucking church. Yeah.
A good response to you being possessed.
Right. The first time holes show up in my wrist, I live in church now. I go to seminary school.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Holes in the wrist do it for me. Whipped on a train, even if the holes in the wrist don't do it for you, whipped on a train for no reason.
Especially when it's accompanied by visions of someone being crucified.
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I forgot about that. You're right. Those are her visions. Yes. If you're having those visions and that's happening to you, the second Gabriel Byrne shows up, you look at the white collar and you just look at him and go, whatever you need.
Well, and especially when you know his fucking name before he even shows up. She even says, right. I kind of feel like I've been waiting for you. Like, what?
Yeah.
And that's, no, you're still
she
not
didn't
convinced.
Say, I kind of feel, she straight up said, I've been expecting you.
Yeah.
Her exact words were, I've been expecting you. You have holes in your body that aren't there for a purpose. You have whiplashes on your back. A priest came through that you've been expecting. Go to church!
I do like how everything is wrapped up within the priest that dies at the beginning, though. I really do like how all of that it's so well written, where you start in this one place, you go to this other place, it's seemingly unrelated, and then all of it slowly starts to intertwine its way together. And it's just, it's the script itself is very smart. It's the directorial choices that I have a major issue with, generally speaking.
No, that's fair. Well, and the special effects are pretty cool too, by the way. Okay.
Yeah, actually they are. Yeah, they hold up pretty well too.
The statue, the statue looks super realistic. I mean, to be fair, there's nothing more elegant than a woman crying. So, you know, there's that, and that's what why are you looking at me like that?
I think for the sake of the friendship, we're going to ignore that you just said that.
No, in all seriousness, no. The special effects are really good. I did like when we were watching, when we did see the statue, when we see the blood get like pulsed out of the eye, mm-hmm. It's like, it's one thing to put it there, but then it's another thing to have created like a mechanism to pump blood through it. That was really cool. The fire. I don't know if you had this thought, but I had the conscious thought of this CGI fire looks so much better than skeletons in the closet.
The exact same thought. You can still even see some of the green in it, but it still looks better than skeletons in the closet.
You can also tell it's real fire that they filmed and then superimposed it around what actually looks like there might be some actual fire on this set.
Versus a $4 fire pack that you bought off some random website. Yes.
I have one, actually. I have one.
I have bunch too, but they're all from YouTube. I mean, I purchased them and use them legally.
Remember LimeWire?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so why don't you give me your final thoughts on this and give me your rating? Because I feel like we're probably in two pretty different places on this one.
Yeah. Stigmata is, it's still a lot of fun. It's not nearly as good as it was when, you know, I watched it way back in the day. Movies have changed. I've gotten used to different tastes. I've grown. I like to think that I have matured, at least in my movie taste, not so much in other aspects of life. And so that did have an effect on the way I enjoyed this movie. Gabriel Byrne's fantastic. I love Gabriel Byrne. He's always great. Pretty much everyone in that plays in the Vatican is really, really good. And the people we see in Pittsburgh before those two worlds mesh are very meh. So I am going to give Stigmata, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Wow. That's lower than I expected you to go.
It's not great. I mean, it's not great. It's, I have this problem. Six and rating something for some reason, six and seven are like the two numbers right after average. And so I always have this hard time of deciding between six and seven.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way.
So maybe we'll go with 6.5.
All right.
We'll go with 6.5, even though Letterboxd won't let me rate half stars.
Well, they do. It's the fact that we're on a 5. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is your fault.
I think rating stuff on a 10 gives you a little bit more leeway on how stuff goes. So, yeah, for me, Stigmata is pretty good. I think it's drowning in the late 90s, early 2000s syndrome where everything is, I don't know, just kind of awful. And I don't like revisiting very much, like from like 99 to like 2011 or generally speaking, like a time period in movies that I don't really enjoy that much. Obviously, there's some exceptions.
Do you secretly love Marvel?
What?
Because I said, do you secretly love Marvel? Because I feel like that's right around the time when Marvel started getting big.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I'm watching Marvel all the time. Yep. Big Marvel fan
traitor.
Over here.
Traitor.
But no, it's traitor. This comes from an era that I'm not super hyped on most of the time, especially in horror movies. There's just a lot of bullshit. And a lot of times the CGI just doesn't hold up. And it's just a bad time for horror, in my opinion. Obviously, there's some exceptions, but this is just drowning in this style that they're going for that I really do not like. And
yeah,
the first hour is really slow, but I do think the script itself is pretty fucking good. There's some really good camera work in here, despite the style that they're going for. There's really good lighting in this as well. There's some moments in here that look really damn good. That part where she's pacing on the building, and she looks like fucking Batman and shit. The way they shot it is awesome. I loved that part so much. That's the kind of neo, like cyberpunk, like look that I actually do kind of like. And then we get into the more classical Exorcist style shit that actually I think makes the movie stand up a little bit better in the second half of it. So this is very lopsided for me, but all in all, I did enjoy it. But here's the interesting part. I was going to give it a 6 as well. And I was thinking like 6 is like meh. So, you know, it's just slightly above average. And I would have rated it a 5 had they kept that style all the way through to the end. Luckily, they kind of abandon it halfway through and don't do full swing with it all the way. So for me, I don't know. This is about a 6. It's just slightly above average. And I don't think we hear people talk about this for a reason. And it's, I think all of those things is because it's just so stuck in the time period that it was made. It's hard to go back and enjoy now.
Yeah.
Let that be a lesson to everyone who fucking tries to hyper-stylize all their movies.
How dare you follow your dreams?
Just do it in a way that is a little more classic.
Appealing to this one specific person. That's what he means.
No, just there's a fucking reason that you can watch classic horror movies from the 70s and 80s still, and they hold up completely versus something like this that is dripping in this style from when it was made, and it hurts the movie looking back at it.
To be fair, though, it's like there's a reason.
Hair metal.
There's a reason you can watch horror movies from the 70s and the 80s.
You don't like The Exorcist?
Who does?
Wow. Well, there you go. And now none of his opinions are valid on religious horror anymore. So that's fun. All right.
Let's be honest. If you don't like The Exorcist, none of your opinions on any horror are valid.
But all right, well, let us know how you feel about Stigmata. I know this is probably, I don't know. I can imagine somebody really being into this if they saw it at the right time in their life and they really dig that whole vibe and style.
Yeah, Joel Osteen.
Too soon.
No, fuck Joel Osteen. It's never too soon. He could get AIDS 30 minutes ago and it wouldn't be too soon to make
fun
of him.
Do you not know what happened like 2 days ago? Somebody came into his church and started shooting people.
Oh. Did they shoot him?
No. Well, and he's got this really creepy apology.
Well, then it's a tragedy.
Where he's smiling all the way through it because he has so much Botox that he can't, that he's like, and I got to tell you, we've been here forever. And it's just a really sad time whenever somebody comes into the church. And dude, it's so creepy.
It was a real tragedy.
It's, yes.
It was a real tragedy.
Yes. It's so fucking creepy.
It's so sad. I'm not laughing.
All right. Well, let us know how you feel about Stigmata down in the comments, because I can imagine that this is somebody's favorite movie. If you like this, make sure you hit the like button. If you really liked it, make sure you hit the subscribe button, because we got a lot more content like this on this channel. We're back at it. No, I don't know what you mean. No way. That's not how I meant it at all. No.
You're so good at being an underhanded asshole. Have I ever told you that?
Yeah, thanks. All right. So we'll see you guys next time from the deep. Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.